All right, we're going to continue our media availabilities. We're joined now by Brad Keselowski, driver of the number 2 Snap-on Ford for Team Penske. Brad, you've been with our Team Penske's been with Snap-on for 32 years. That's really, really impressive. But want to get to talking about Talladega. You're the winningest active driver here with 5 victories. You were 16th on the speed chart in final practice. What will you and Paul Wolf need to do for you to get to win number 6 in the Geico 500?
Yeah, well, can you hear me here? Just checking. I think Talladega's been a good track for us, for sure. And, I come here excited and feeling like we can win. And there's a lot to be said for that and kind of the confidence that you need to have to run well here. But we come here with, pretty strong cars, which always make your job a little bit easier. But I think this year it seems as though the cars are quite a bit different than they've been, I think, in my history here. They're a lot faster and handling, quite a bit worse. I told somebody today I felt like I was in 1985 with the way the cars are driving. So, that said, I expect a little bit of a different race than what we've seen here, and I'm not really sure exactly what to predict, but we're hopeful it'll be a great day for us.
All right, we'll open up the floor. Let's start with Holly Kane. Then we'll go to Caleb and then Lee Spencer.
Hey, Brad. Holly Kane back here in the midst.
Oh, hey, Holly. How are you?
Good, thank you. The NASCAR Wire Service. With 5 victories here, is there something to knowing how to race this? I mean, do you feel like this is a place where you can feel confident every time you come? Some people talk about it as it's a crapshoot. But clearly, yeah, when you've won 5 times, that's not the case, perhaps.
Well, maybe I've just been lucky 5 times. I think there's a luck factor to Talladega that will always be there. And there's a skill factor that seems to always be a moving target with different tactics and techniques based on the rules, regulations, and competitors. What it took to win here the first time is certainly not what it's going to take to win here this weekend. So you have to adapt to that, and that's a big challenge, right, when you have something you're successful with. And I would say that with the way the cars are driving so far this weekend, it's going to take something even completely different again to be successful here. So I look at it as a fairly open weekend with a lot of unpredictability, even for Talladega standards. With that is an opportunity as well, but we're certainly going to have to earn it.
Let's go back to Caleb.
Caleb Whistler, kickingthetires.net. Brad, knowing your family's history in ARCA, kind of what was your initial thoughts whenever they announced that NASCAR has acquired ARCA?
Yeah, I just read a tiny bit about it, and I think there's an announcement actually after mine. At least I saw it on the board out there that maybe will help give a little clarity, because I don't know enough to really understand what's going on there. But other than the basics, I think there's a lot of details there that really will determine, whether it was good for everybody. But, my initial reaction is, I really like Ron Draeger and his family a lot. They've been really good family friends to my family for, decades. And I hope that he's happy and has what he needs and that everything worked out there. And I think that's probably my first thoughts of just thinking about Ron and his family. Beyond that, I hope that it turns into, the kind of partnership that benefits, all of motorsports for years to come. So, I don't know enough about the likelihood of that happening or where it's going or what's happening. I think there's a lot going on there. I think those are my initial thoughts.
All right, let's go over here to Lee Spencer.
It's been almost 10 years since you got that first win here. How did that change your life?
That was a huge, huge win for me, Lee. I think that first win put me in position to be with Penske. I don't know if I would have been with Penske without that, which was, huge for me. It opened up a lot of doors. And I was able to get through them in a time period where, they weren't kind of handing out quality rides like they were candy. that's how that goes. But so it opened up a door for me to earn it. And, I'm glad to be here. And I don't know if I would be here if it wasn't for that first win.
We'll come down front to Bob, and then we'll go to Mr. Minner.
Bob Packer, CSPN.
Hey, Bob.
Hey. Do you expect a restrictor plate change? Is it needed? And if they do change it, is it okay if you don't have practice?
Yeah, I expect some fairly significant changes. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I definitely expect some significant changes. The cars are about 5 to 10 mile an hour faster than they've ever been, or they've been in here in the last 2 to 3 decades. You know, the liftoff speed is probably a concern, not just for, you know, me, but for everybody, right? And with the cars handling the way they're handling, you know, you'll need the single file out to survive this race. And I think that's probably not the expectation of what we want to put on for a show. So I would expect there to be some changes for sure. As to what they might be, I don't know. You know, that, and as to whether it'll be whatever change is done will be successful, I don't know that either. But I would expect some kind of move to be made.
All right, let's go back to Rick Minner.
Brad, if you had a magic wand, you could over here. Hey, if you had like a magic wand, you could wave. Where would you like to see ARCA, like say 2 or 3 years from now? What role it should play in the grand scheme of things? And also, do you think it's a way for like NASCAR to reach out to, like, say, the people that filled up the grandstands at Salem last weekend?
I like ARCA just the way it is. You know, it's each series is like a different flavor of ice cream, and you can only have so many chocolates and so many vanillas. You know, sometimes they need to be a little different. And ARCA's got its own flavor, and I think that's great. I don't know if that's NASCAR's plan to keep it that. I don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody knows, right? Maybe their plan is just to keep it the way it is right now, and I think that would be great. Maybe they got a bigger vision for it. I don't know. That could be great too. So I guess we'll see.
Any additional questions for Brad? Right here in front.
Were you on track during the practice session with Jamie's wreck? What did you see?
Was I on track when Jamie wrecked? Yeah, I saw it. I was actually leading that group, and you know, I saw it in my mirror, and I just saw him go up in the air and tumble a bunch of times. I didn't know exactly what caused it, but certainly not what we want to see, and I'm glad Jamie's okay.
We'll go right here to Mike Embry.
Mike Embry, USA Today. His wreck, could the speeds be so high that the tires are under more stress? Could that have impacted his left rear, or probably not a factor?
I would say it could be a factor, but I don't know. There's not a lot left to really decipher there. But it certainly is not a help. You know, my understanding on the speed rating for those tires is that they're good for, you know, 220, 230 mile an hour. And although we were, you know, the fastest we've been here in a number of years, I think we were that specific lap. If I had to guess based on the data I saw, Jamie would have been around 210. So I would say he had a 10 mile an hour margin, but I don't know. Maybe he just ran something over. There's a good likelihood of that. Usually when you have a flat rear tire, just by the very nature of how a vehicle with four wheels rolls down the racetrack, either something fell off the car or something failed. You didn't run over something, because if you ran over something, it would cut the front tire first because they're in the same path. So it's possible, but I don't know. I'd hate to go on record as saying that speed is what caused his tire to blow out. I don't know if we'll ever know that one. But he did run the fastest lap the lap before that, so I could see where you could look at that and put a few question marks up.
Let's go right here to Bob.
Bob Hockrist, CSPN again. Do you feel like, is it too fast, or the car's just unstable with the no ride height rule?
You know, the too fast is subjective. You know, we could run around here 260, and, you know, I'd be okay with that. It probably would not be what a lot of people would expect when they buy a ticket because we'd be spread out across the whole track, kind of like, you know, it was in the mid-80s. And I think a lot of people expect pack racing. It's not too fast for me as a driver. This is what I signed up for, and I'm happy to go whatever speed. It's too fast for those that expect to see pack racing on Sunday.
Any additional questions for Brad? All right, Brad. Well, thank you for your time. Good luck Sunday.
Thank you.